All right. We're continuing our teaching tonight in the subject of understanding grace. We talked about saving grace, and we talked about God's grace in our life for us to live victorious, but now we're looking at serving grace. And one of the things that we talked about serving grace is the fact that serving grace is not something we pick or choose. It's something that God calls each one of us to. We were teaching, you know, on Sundays here, we were doing a series, Manifestations of God. One of the things we talked about in that is about God manifesting gifts through His people, because the scripture says there's nine gifts of the Spirit manifestation, and He said the Holy Spirit divides them severally as He wills through the entire body. So there's things that God wants to manifest in us, and that is grace to serve or to, you know, do God's work, whatever it is that He's called us to do, to minister to people. So we want to keep that in mind, because our society runs on the principle of, you know, you decide what you want to do in life, and then you, whatever education you get, to do this or do that. But that's not the operation of God's kingdom to work in His kingdom. It doesn't work in that manner. So you can pick and choose what you want to do from the standpoint. That don't mean God has chosen that for you for His ministry. And so we need to understand that it's what God desires for us to do. And that's why He's finding out how we're graced, how God's graced us, and what we're supposed to do. Now, we're going to start looking in Romans tonight, the 15th chapter. We're going to go there. We're going to read through some scripture tonight dealing with the Apostle Paul talks about grace. And we can learn it, how grace worked in him and his calling, as we can look in the same manner for ourselves. It's hugely important. So in Romans, the 15th chapter, we're going to read, I'm going to read two verses there, to 15 and 16. And it starts and says in 15, "Nevertheless, he said, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God." So he's going to make a statement about the grace of God that was given to him. And so it was specific. Here it says, "that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Here we can see Paul's grace was specific. We need to understand that grace is not general. No Christian is called as the jack of all trades and the master of none. Grace, we are specifically graced in the kingdom of God. One of the things that we had looked at in our teaching we had done on Sundays on manifestations of God was looking at 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. It talked about the body and the body's need. In other words, if God manifests through each individual, then each individual in the body is going to have manifestations of certain things. In other words, there will be grace by God specifically. See, many times people want, you know, one of the things that I find out this about, especially well, we're dealing in this over in pastoring, people have the idea that the pastor should be graced to do everything. And he's not. It's just that's why a lot of pastors don't last long in the ministry. They have a hard time. They have all this stuff they call burnout. And burnout comes from this, doing things outside of what you should be doing, you know. Nobody ever got burned out over underworking. You can't get burned out from overwork. In other words, doing too many things, doing too much stuff outside, you know, your things. It's just like people trying to take care of things and everything all the time, trying to control stuff. People do that sometimes in families where an individual's trying to take care of everything in the family, and what others don't do, they're trying to do, trying to make everything work. That person is never happy, and most people are never really happy around them because you can't do that. You can't control everything. You can't run everything. Other people are responsible for things in the natural. Well, it's the same way spiritually. You don't step outside of your grace. Paul said he was called the Gentile. In other words, Paul was not called to the Jews, to minister to the Jews. One of the things from the areas of, like we talk with ministry, especially in full-time ministry, people, they have a certain things or people you minister to, but you have to know just the average Christian. Who's God told you to help? You know, God shows you somebody. That don't mean you do to everybody. You follow who God tells you to reach. One of the things that I learned from the standpoint of ministry, one of the things they talked about, it's in Bible school, they said, you only go to the people God sends you to. You don't go to everybody. You know, everybody wants you to go to everybody. I get phone, like, over the years of ministry, and somebody would, will call me, and they, what it is, here's what people do. God's put something on their heart. Now they're going to find somebody else to do what God put on their heart. And I had this happen over the years. A lot of people call and say, you know, such and such, you know, you ought to minister or maybe minister to those people. And I'd say, no, I say, God put that in your heart. You go minister to them. Oh, they don't like, I hate that. Say, oh, God puts it on your heart. You go do it. No, God put it on your heart. You go do it. And see, that terrorist party, that's what people do. They're trying to always get somebody else to do what, you know, is on their heart to do. See, God puts things on people's hearts and they don't, you know. God one time called me. They're in a sort of funny situation from the standpoint of, but he calls me, folks had, they were from some people he knew in a Mennonite church and they had a child who drowned in their pond. And he gives me a call and tells me I ought to go over and pray for them and raise that child from the dead. And I told him, I said, go ahead, tell me how it works. Let me know. I said, God, yes, if it's your heart, you go do it. But I said, God didn't tell me to go and raise a child from the dead. You know, you just don't decide you're going to go do that. See, people get in there. But see, a lot of people have that. They have, you know, especially if somebody's used in some manner, they think you could just turn this stuff on and off and that kind of stuff. The grace is controlled by you. And so people don't think that they have any grace working in their life because they don't do anything. It's always somebody else's job to do them. And it's not. You have to know what God's called you to do. And Paul said, tells us specifically his grace was geared toward the Gentile. That's what God called him to do. In fact, we had read before where God had called Peter. He said God had called Peter to the Jew and him to the Gentile. So, you know, Peter didn't do well with Gentiles. Remember, he got over around them and got himself in big trouble. Because he didn't do well in there. You walk outside your grace, and then the thing to do is follow the grace of God. Now, we want to look at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. We're going to read another scripture here. But we need to understand grace is specific in what it does. And we it's what God graces us to do, not what we decide or we're telling God that we want done. And in the areas of grace, here we see Paul talks here. We're not going to read down through the whole chapter. We'll start at the fifth verse. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth about the what they got over. They got into some things about saying, like ones were saying, "I'm a Paul and I'm of Apollos," and he got over it. He told them that they were carnal. That they were really, you know, they were baby Christians by what they were acting and doing. And here he's going to clarify things. He said, in verse 5, he said, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one?" He said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." He said, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to what the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder," he said, "I've laid a foundation and others build on it. But let each one take heed how he builds." So what Paul is doing here, in other words, what him and Apollos were doing wasn't because of themselves. It was the grace of God on their lives. Where people are saying, like, "I'm about to," you know, people even do it today. You know, they talk about ministry. They don't follow somebody's anointing that God called them to. They follow people they like. That's a very dangerous thing to do. It isn't a matter of people you like. You follow the anointing. You want to follow grace. You don't follow people. You follow grace. And where the grace is working, and especially, you know, I'll just tell you this. God, it's like with me, God, I was never allowed to by God to just pick and choose where I wanted to be in churches or anything like that, ministry. God always told me where I needed to be because, number one, God may grace you in a certain area or a certain way. And you need to follow after a certain anointing that has the grace that God has dealt with you. And if you go hook up in some other church or some other place, you get out in left field away from God's calling. People don't realize that. They do that. It's one thing is I've always, where God told me to be, Wanda and I were never allowed just to pick and choose the church we wanted. God always showed us where we were supposed to be concerning His grace and the manifestations of His grace. You aren't going to be off out doing your own thing and grace manifesting through you. It doesn't work in that manner. It doesn't. So this is knowing where I'm supposed to be. And a lot of people today, that's the problem many Christians run into, because the average Christian doesn't know where they're supposed to be. They're picking two people. Well, and I understand how it happens, because they go to around and listen to ministers, and you hear ministers say this. I used to hear this in TV. I've watched very few TV, ever watched a TV ministers. But they say, find a good church. You don't find a good church. You ask God. If you had any spirituality, you know, which most people don't, they wouldn't know a good church if it fell on top of them. I wouldn't have known it was a good church. I was going to try to go to a church that God told me if I would have went there. He verbally rebuked me. He told me that if I'd have went to that church, I'd have never fulfilled his plan for me and my life. He said, never. See, you get off track. Some people don't realize it. You get off track and maybe never get back in the will of God again. Mm-hmm. No, we have this whole thing of everything will work out. It's okay. You know, I love God. Wish it just worked like that. Don't. You got to find it. Well, we found Paul. I want you to see something, though, Paul said here is very interesting concerning the ministry of Paul, because we'll learn something about grace. We talked some about last week. See, people get over and they see a grace and they have a similar grace, but they think that just because somebody operates in something, they should be just like that. And it's not true. Paul made this statement in verse 10 there. He said, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. That the master builder, we might call it a contractor. Also, the term is used as an architect. In other words, his grace. Now, he said, I laid the foundation, another builds on it. So Apollos built on his foundation. There was different levels of apostles. Now, the 12 apostles, there's never anybody going to be able to stand in where they did, because they were specific. Those 12 were called to, their ministry was because they walked with Jesus. They lived with him. They saw him die. They saw him after he was raised from the dead. That was their testimony to the world. That was their testimony that they were eyewitnesses. You know, John writes in 1 John, he said, we were eyewitnesses. We saw it. That was their ministry. Nobody else could stand it. Paul couldn't stand in that. Paul didn't even know Jesus when Jesus was alive on the earth. Never met him. Didn't know him at all. But the apostle Paul, you won't find anybody else who stands in the apostleship that he did. He was separated. He had revelation. You and I, from revelation of scripture, the apostle Paul gave more foundational revelation than any other writer in the New Testament. Nobody else gave the foundational revelation that he did. And he said, basically, that's what he's saying here. His grace, he's the wise master, and people are supposed to be careful how they build on the foundation that he laid. You see, Paul laid a foundation of truth in the scriptures, in his writings. Today, it is horrible in the church world, because people are building on their own foundations. They're no longer following the principles that Paul put down here. Everybody has their Jesus loves me stuff. I'm sorry. There's more to Christianity than Jesus loves me. Amen. There's a foundation. And anything that's built, he said, you be careful how you build on his foundation. Be careful about that. And so we want to do that. We need to understand these people God placed here for purpose. There's a lot of things that we would, if you didn't have Paul's writings, there'd be loads of revelation you would not know. Loads of things you wouldn't know. In fact, no other writer wrote specifically concerning the church and the church leaving other than Paul. It's not even in the scripture, those things. But there's many things that Paul wrote concerning salvation, concerning righteousness. People wouldn't know a thing, hardly much about it at all. They wouldn't know a thing about it. They're in there. He's one that God called to to lay this foundation. In a sense, he said, this grace was on me. It was to be the architect of the foundation that's laid in the earth. Now, I can tell you this. I've never heard anybody preach that, but it's right here in the Bible. You know? But he's talking about, so there's this I would know. If I would be called to be an apostle, I would not be called to lay a new foundation of the Word. There's no other. The foundation of the Word's been laid. There is not anybody else called. There's people today coming through with new revelations. And I'm sorry, they ain't from God. They're man's revelations. There's nobody else going to be called to this. The foundation's been laid. It's already been, and I don't know about you, I find that, I like that. Because I don't have to invent something. I don't have to try to figure out something new. That really relieves a relief to us. That we don't, the foundation's laid. So if we look and know what the foundation is and things, we'll understand the grace of God in us will operate within that foundational guideline. It'll operate there. So it helps, you know, if anything, as a boundary is needed, people are more secure in a boundary. You know, the studies that they've done over the years with children. Children without much of a boundary in life and that stuff find it more difficult to live. They are more likely to commit suicide. Children, they say, do much, much better where they have boundaries and guidelines that are set up for them, and you ain't allowed to go outside these boundaries. They said they do so much better, like, you know, from educational wise, they learn better, they just downright do much better. See, this is why today we've removed the boundaries of children because they gotta be able to grow. Well, that worked. Now we're trying to figure, you know, a senior can pass on a first grade level, you know, that kind of thing. You know, we're trying to make everybody get to the spot, you know, we're trying to do all these things. And they don't do. They're doing everything that hinders. Well, spiritually, it's the same thing. Stay within the guidelines of the foundation, you're secure. And so, we want to continue to walk in that. So, you know, these things are like, Paul ministered according to the ability that God gave. So what he said, I'm doing what God gave. And understand with the ability, because we find, like, say, with manifestations of God, in Mark 16:20, it tells us in Mark 16, it talks about when Jesus was leaving, he said the signs that will follow believers. But it says this, the disciples, it said, verse 20, it said, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The word was confirmed. In other words, the foundation. The word was confirmed, not what people wanted. What they did is what was preached of the word. In other words, the foundation. When they preached from the foundation, the word was confirmed by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, we're not working. We need to get into the idea that, you know, God works with us. It's not all God and it's not all man. People get in both sides. God works through us. He needs people. God manifests himself through people. This is why when people, I talked about this before, when people begin to pray and they pray for a move of God. Well, do you want to be part of that move of God? Can God move through you? There's no point in praying if you're not going to be a participant. Because God moves through people. That's how he moves in us. That's just it. He uses people. So that grace is in people. So what we have to learn to do is how we can cooperate with God's grace. Now we found here that God's grace had worked through the disciples when they went out and preached the word. So the grace of God manifested through the word that they preached. So we can see that. So in other words, we stay within the word, the guidelines of the word, the grace of God will work. God will always do his part when we do our part. You know, God is not a socialist. He does it if you don't work, you don't eat for God. You know, he don't send you lunches. Now people might do it, but God won't. That's the way it is. You know, see, we got, you know, you do your part, God will do his. See, many people are praying, asking God to do things that they have no intention to do what they're supposed to do. They have no intention whatsoever. And that's how they come up with the idea. Sometimes, you know, God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe. Well, you got to make an excuse. It couldn't be that I messed up. It had to be God. God had to have a reason it didn't work. It wouldn't be that Ed's an idiot. It would have to be God did something. So you have to always find out yourself. So God will always do his word. He can't. If God breaks his word, You have no place to stand to trust. What can you say? If God's not going to do, if God said that I could pray and ask him for something and he would do it and he wouldn't do it, what place would I have to stand in faith with God? I mean, there is no such thing as faith. It's the same way with people. You know, you cannot trust a person who don't keep their word. Amen. You can't, so you can't trust them. So we need to walk in the light of this. So don't expect, it's just like with Paul here. Paul had a grace on him. That doesn't mean everybody would have a grace in the same manner. We don't. And even within the same calling. So we're not trying to be just like somebody else. Somebody might have walked at a higher level of something, but it's not because they're better. It's just because God called them to. Paul went on to write in 1 Corinthians, back to it's back to the 15th chapter there again. In verses 9 and 10, we're going to read there back in the 15th. The apostle Paul said in verse 9, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Now listen to what Paul's saying there. Paul said he became an apostle. Now he said he called himself the least of the apostles. Why? He said, "I persecuted the church," but he said, "I am what I am." God graced him to do what he did. God did. So in other words, God chose Paul. God didn't choose Paul based on what he was before he was saved or what he did accomplish or did not accomplish. Had nothing to do. But I want you to see what Paul said. Paul made a statement about the grace on him. See, Paul had a very powerful way. Paul's ministry in his days reached more people than probably most of the rest of the apostles did. His ministry. But Paul clears it up. Why? What did he say? He said, "I labored more abundantly than y'all." Now just think, Paul just made this statement. Hey, I worked harder than all of them, those guys did. The other ones, the apostles. Now he's not bragging. He said, what was it? It was God's grace. God gave him the ability to do that. It was God's working in him. It wasn't he went to a school and somebody taught him how to be a really good apostle. And he learned all these really cool things that you could do to become a really good apostle. You know, no Bible school is worth its spit if it don't teach how to be led by the Spirit. It ain't worth spit. And I'm seriously, it ain't worth spit. We're not just trying to accumulate knowledge. You got to find out how God works and how we cooperate with him. That's how it works. But Paul made the statement here. He said, I went and worked harder, but he said, now hold it. It was grace. The grace was doing this thing. I was called. I wasn't called because, you know, man, he said, not from a natural speaking, I should have never even been in the position. He has, in other words, he didn't have any natural qualification for the ministry. No natural. It's like me, God called me to preach and teach the word. I had no natural qualifications. I could show you how to drink a drug. I could have taught you that. But grace does something. Grace does it. Now I've always marveled at the gift of God in me because it just blows my mind. I mean, for God in teaching, I sit down and read scripture and I just see teachings all over the place. It's just, wow, yeah, man, you could tease that out. Wow, that was really good. I find this hard for myself because I sit down and I'm studying a subject and all of a sudden I look over to scripture and I see something. The next thing I know, I'm overstudying. I'm overstudying this. I did it today. I was looking. I thought, man, that was good. I never saw that. And so I started to study it. I said, hold it. I got to get back. It's like people say, you know, try to sit down and figure out teaching. To me, it'd be harder to figure out what to teach because there's so much you could teach. Not the fact of trying to find something. It's trying to zero in what you're supposed to do. That's but it has to be the grace. I never had such a thing in my life. I never had anything like that till I got born again. It never existed. And it never existed till 1983. When the teaching gift came on me and this stuff started working and I'm like, oh my God, this is something else. this is really unique. Now, and so we always give credit with yourselves, to us, always give credit toward grace. And always understand this, no matter how good you can cooperate with God, you could not do it if grace wasn't involved. You couldn't do it. Grace is what brings it to pass. Is number one, always stay in that area of humility. There's many ministers who have fallen, died prematurely, because they get over and think they arrive. Nobody arrives.
Amen.
There's no geniuses in this earth. Oh, there's a lot of people think they are. But God said he hasn't called any of those. He didn't say, I didn't call many wise. You can't call, it's hard to call the wise. They think they know it all. It's hard. I learned a long time ago, I need help. Help! There's nothing wrong with that. Understanding? And you know, when help comes, take it. Walk in the grace that helps you become what God, you know, because that's what makes you a blessing to people. Grace will make you a blessing to others. It'll work. Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians 1. First chapter. And we're going to go down to verse 28. I'm continuing reading here in the Apostle Paul. He says, in verse 28, it says, Him we preach concerning Christ, he says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to the working which works in me mightily. So he's talking about grace there. I don't use the term grace, but what he said, what, and this is his working, his God's working that's working in me. That's God's working that works in me mightily. So Paul's laboring, he's a laborer, he's doing his part, but what makes the power of, it's God's power that makes this thing work. So the success, so it's not, here again, it's not all God and man, it's the cooperation between God and man. So God can't do it without our cooperation, so we do cooperate with the grace of God. This is that great grace that is working in us. So we want to continue to walk in the light of that, the power of God that is flowing into our lives so we can do the will of God. That's what it is. Serving grace is simply that. Paul's talking about that mighty work that works in him. Now, this always remember that serving grace is distributed in different measures and different proportions according to the choosing and calling of God. That's how it works. We don't choose it. We just learn to cooperate with the grace that he gives us. You know, the Bible talks about people measuring themselves against others. It says it's not a good thing to do. But see, we're our society, that's all we're taught to do. People measure themselves. That's why all this criticism and fighting and carrying on all the time in the media. Because it's always measuring yourself against, you know, they're not doing what I do, so they're messed up. You know, everybody's measuring themselves against stuff. We have today, you know, with so much people with depression and so much stuff going on. The suicide rates, I said, they said, suicides are up like 33% in the United States. I mean, that's astronomical. It's up 33, isn't it? I mean, it's just, that's a huge, huge jump. But see, when people are taught and trained, you know, you got to follow this certain guidelines that we have. You got to have these things. It is not following God's guidelines. It's things men set up. And, everybody is supposed to be the same. You're all supposed to fit this mold. And, if I'm doing this, everybody else is supposed to do it, or they're messed up. And so, but, it's caused so much problems. So let's look at Galatians in the second chapter. We're going to Galatians. Paul again talks about his serving grace working. The Apostle Paul here does one again. In Galatians, the second chapter, I want to look at starting at verse 7. It says here, it starts out, it says, But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel, now this is Paul was went down to, let me sort of preface this, went down to Jerusalem, and because the Jews, there was a bunch of the Jews that didn't like the Gentiles were coming into the kingdom and weren't being circumcised, because you know the religious people, it's never enough just to get saved. You had to have something else added onto that so you would be saved. He said, but contrary, he said, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, He said, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. So here's two people graced. Here they are. They're graced differently, doing different jobs. One group. See, today we have the idea, you know, you minister, then you're sort of, you minister to everybody. You just, you know, do the whole thing. As one thing is I've learned, even like I knew from the time I was a young Christian, that I would go to other countries to minister. I knew that. But one of the things that about that was, I don't pick and choose countries I go to, even though I knew I would. And I've had people try to get me to go places where, you know, I just, there's nothing in me to go there. There's nothing. It's like, you know, that's not your place to go. And there's one, finding in you what is the place to go. What is in you? What are you supposed to be doing? And see, you need to find it. Also, when you go, what are you supposed to do there? You don't do everything. See, here's how I find this out. You go to places, and usually, and I always tell people going into places, what they're expecting may be not all what I'm going to do. See, people want to, their expectations, people, you're a minister, you ought to do this, or you ought to do that, and you ought to, you can do this, basically they work at, you should just be able to do everything under the sun, they don't even need Jesus anymore, you should be able to come and do it all. And it's not the way it is. You need to know, what are you supposed to do when you go there? When you go someplace, God sends you somewhere, what do you do when you go there? What are you supposed to? I'm telling you, even your personal life, you know, I remember with Wanda, she wanted to visit, was Grandpa Bolts. Wasn't really her grandpa, but he was a close member of the family, and they always called him Grandpa Bolts, an older gentleman. She hadn't seen him for years, and she found out that he was in a nursing home, and she said to me she wanted to go see him, and she asked me if I'd go along. I said, sure, so I'll go with you. Go visit him. And so I was over praying, not specifically about Grandpa Bolts, but I told the Lord, I said, hey, we're going up to see him. And I said, if in any way I can bless him or do something. And the Lord said, when you go tonight, he just clearly in my spirit said, when you go up to see him tonight, you're gonna lead him to me. I thought, oh. So see, he's telling me what I'm going to do. See, I'm graced to do something there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not graced to reach everybody there.
That's right.
Oh. Thought you'd just go hold a revival meeting and he would just... Now he's told me what to do. But you know what? I found this out. If God hadn't spoken to me so specifically, I would have missed it totally with him. I'd have missed it totally. Because I tell you what, you would have thought that man was saved. I was talking to him. I mean, he would just quote scripture back to you. He's doing all this stuff. I mean, he's just talking and talking. And the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, God, you spoke to me about bringing this guy to Christ. I mean, what planet are we on here? I'm just like, man, because this guy's like everything, and you say something to him, and he's got all the right answers. And it's funny, sometimes God leads you to say something. Sometimes you can know God's leading you to say a certain thing, and sometimes we say things we weren't necessarily know that we were led to say. But when I walked out the door, and he's a very old man, you know, he's not going to live a lot of years. He's in a nursing home there, and his health's not great. And I just thought that I turned around and made a statement to him about being in heaven. And he said, I sure hope so. And when he said that, I knew all that rest was religion talking. All that talking. I've had that more than one time where I went places, people doing all, people from studying all kind of stuff. They got their Bibles and their study Bibles, and they're not even a Christian. They're not even born again. Find out that they have never been born again. So you can run into that kind of stuff. This is why, man, you got to learn to be led by the Spirit, know the grace of God that's working. Just like with him, I turned around and I said, we need to talk here. I sat down and I explained, and he accepted Christ that night. Got born again and knew it. But see, we need to be very careful. Lots of times, be careful who you just call a Christian because they're around and say they're a Christian. You'll set yourself by running your mouth where God can't talk you to work with that person. Because you're just so sure that they're saved, you'll let them go off to hell because they say they're a Christian and they say religious things. Just start talking religious stuff. People will do it, and people can know the things of the Bible. That man knew the things about the Bible. He went to church in his life, you know. He went to his church and he knew all that kind of stuff, but he was never born again. Well, I know where he is today. Grandpa Boats, I'll see him again. Hallelujah. He got so that what happened was he ended up, then he, something came up with him and they moved, took him to the hospital. And I went to visit him and he said about, you know, his big thing, he didn't like being in the nursing home, which I, you know, for him, it's his thing, you know, but he was bedridden. He really couldn't get around. He'd have to have somebody really help him with everything. And he wasn't able to go back to his home. He said, well, you know, his children weren't going to take him in. Well, you know, sometimes people can't. I mean, they just can't do that. And many times people ain't even qualified to take care of somebody else. They ain't qualified for it. And he said, well, he said, I'm going to be in a nursing home. And I was talking to him in the hospital. And he said this. He said, actually, he said, I'd just like to go home and be with the Lord. Now, this guy's only been born again a couple months. But he's going to be with Jesus. He knows it. He said, I'd like to go home and be with the Lord. But he said, is that the right to do, or is that trying to, like, wanting to commit suicide? And I told him, I said, don't even bother to think about this, that anymore. I said, I'll tell you what, I said, I'm going to talk to the Lord about some things. We'll get this straightened out. I knew I didn't want to sit down and talk to him and try to explain to him some things. But so I went to the Lord about it. And I went to the Lord and asked the Lord about him and the situation. And, you know, one of the things I've learned sometimes, you know, in praying, you know, the scripture talks about pleading your case together. You know, going to God, you plead your case. Well, God gets the right to plead his case, but you plead yours. And so I went to the Lord about him. And the Lord asked me the Lord spoke to me and asked me some questions. And I said, look, I said, he's in this home. I said, he's not going to live very long. I said, why should he linger? You know, to me, I think that's, people do a terrible job of hanging on to somebody and keeping them here and letting them suffer when they could be with Jesus. I hate to see families do that stuff. God's had me intervene in a number of times on those situations because people, Christians, and their selfishness and not thinking about the person, only of themselves. But I told the Lord, I said, what does he have here? I said, there's nothing he has while he's here. I said, he's in this bed, he's old, slowly dying away. And the Lord said, well, what would you like to do? What would you like to have me to do? And I said, I'd like him to go home. And the Lord said, okay. He said, I'll take care of that. And I went back and told him. And I told him that he was going to be leaving. I said, don't be concerned about you're going to be leaving. In 3 days he left. I've had on more than one occasion, Lord, do that concerning a person. And always within at least 3 days, they were gone. The Lord said, okay. First time I was shocked, the Lord said to me, ask me, what do you want me to do? I said, why are you asking me? You're God. Tell me something good you come up with a good idea. I thought you would. But God's interested. You know, as you get mature enough, you'll get mature enough. Now, see, it's number one. I never asked a 5-year-old kid what to do about major things. God ain't going to ask some Christians, a baby Christian, their opinion on it. That's why it's good to learn some things. Because you arrive at a spot where you become responsible enough that God will put you in charge of things. That what you say will come to pass. You have to learn that. See, it's about the grace of God working in our lives. It's about the grace of God working and ministering to people and helping them.
That's right.
I've seen the grace of God work in some of the most miraculous ways with people going through things. If you know how to cooperate, especially with people around in the hospitals and stuff, be very careful about what you say, what you talk around individuals and what you do. We need to be very careful in those areas. Is find out what God's best is. I know I dealt with a lady who had a brain, cancerous brain tumor that was just slowly taking over. But the Lord spoke to me and told me about it. He said I was praying, asked the Lord about it. She was a Christian, but had never really walked in the light of her Christianity. But she got back in fellowship with God. And the Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, she's going to die. What I want you to do is get her ready to come home. That's what I want you to do. See, you got to find grace works in ways. This is people. People have their ideas about things, what they want. Find out from God. God, what's he said? You get her ready to go home. And from that day on, whenever I would visit her, because her mind would go sometimes and she wouldn't know where she was, what she was, or anything else. She wouldn't know. Her mind would go. Every time I would visit her, her mind would be completely clear. Her mind would get completely clear, and we could just sit and talk. And the last couple of times that I've talked to her, majority of the time, we talked about heaven. That's where she was going. And so I did. See, it's one of the things, don't always be so quick to pray and pray for somebody's healing. You set yourself in a direction, God may be able to change and make things worse. Find out, number one, is the person even ready to be prayed for healing? And is the person, can because see, somebody like that lady, I realized we went along, she was not in a place to be able to get her to over the areas of faith to be able to move in that direction. There was a manifestation of gift of spirit, which I can't pull a trigger on that thing. I mean, that's God's going to have to decide that. And he told me he wasn't pulling the trigger. So that was, that ain't happening. So you have to know what to do. Well, he told me that was the best that we could do. Get her ready for heaven. And when she was died, she was ready for heaven. She was just ready to go. So I would visit her, and the last time I visited her, she died the following day, but I visited her, and she had, her mind would go sometimes, and she would get, for some people, for the hospice, she was sort of hard to control, but I would go visit her, and she was completely fine. She'd be fine to talk, and they'd say, "We don't understand, you come in," and say, I could tell them. They were Mrs. Death running around them, ministering death. Even a person's dying, you don't have to be Mr. and Mrs. Death. That's right. And that's all they're doing, is they're just ministering death. And they're wondering why. Well, you got to have life. See, when I go, I didn't expect to, you know. She's dying, but this ain't some bad thing. She's going to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, she's with Jesus today. And she ain't saying, boy, I wish I was down there with the rest of those jerks. I was just... you know, she's with Jesus, dear Lord. You know, this stuff is real to me. I don't know. It just, going to heaven to me sounds like a real good thing to do. But learning that is, Mr., be a minister of life to them and that stuff. Sometimes, and that's why it's listening. When the grace of God, if you're doing God's will and things, His grace will be on you to do that. But if you're in there sitting around and people are talking and doing things, I mean, I say even my father, and I'm just talking about, this is the grace of God, how the grace of God. Learn to cooperate how God works. Learn to pay attention. You know, is when my dad was in the hospital and when he was in he was unconscious physically. But I knew this standing in the room. We had the whole family standing in the room. I knew standing in the room, my dad could, his spirit could hear everything we were saying, and I knew it. I knew he knew everything that was going on in the place. I knew it. And they're all sitting around. Now the doctor told us, you know, that they never know how long he was going to be in that condition until he would die. He said it could be months that he would be in this condition. And I thought, no, he ain't. See, I take you to school, buddy. Teach you a few things. And all I did was, we were standing there. All of us were in the room together. Everybody was there. And I'm standing there. And all I just said, Lord, I want to talk to my dad. And I said, man, you got to set up a situation where we get the rest of the family out of here. I don't care. There's ones who were Christians in the bunch, but I wanted them out of the room as much as I wanted anybody out of the room. Get them out. But all I did is said to God, I want them out. I'd just like to be able to talk to Dad. Because I knew Dad could hear all that was going on. I knew he could hear. I knew he knew what was going on. And so... stupidest thing. In 5 minutes, all of a sudden, everybody starts saying, well, look, I got to go do this or I got to do that. And we're going to come back later on. And they're all talking this. And my brother said, I'm going to take mom home for a while. And they started this whole thing. 20 minutes, I'm standing in the room by myself. I'm standing there by myself. Well, you know, God wanted to minister to my dad. God did. You know what? God wanted my dad to leave and come on and not linger and hang around. Amen. He wanted him to leave. But you know what? See, my dad was holding himself there. What he was concerned about was mom. Was mom going to be all right? That's what he was concerned about. See, you need to understand about, if you don't know things by the Spirit, you'll just do your thing and you're some good old psychological thing that somebody told you and something. You got to know. And I knew that was his problem. I knew it. He was concerned about, what about mom? So I sat down at the bed when everybody left. I told my dad, first thing I told him, I said, Dad, it's time to leave. It's time for you to go. You need to go. This is what you need to do. I said, Dad, you know that. And I said, you don't have to be concerned at all about Mom. I said, Mom's fine. I said, everything Mom's just going to be taken care of. I said, you don't have to worry about a thing in the world with her. I said, Dad, all my life, from a young kid on up, all I've ever heard to you talking about Jesus coming back and you going to heaven. Well, I said, Jesus didn't come back in your time, but I said, you can go to heaven. I said, it's time. I said, this is what you always wanted to do. Now you need to do it. You need to leave and go. Enjoy yourself. Go off to heaven. And my dad, I was talking to him about 20 minutes, and he started dying. Right, he started dying, and within the hour he was dead. He left. He didn't die because of what was going on in his body. He left. Mm-hmm. He left. See, we're supposed to do all that we do by faith. He went to heaven by faith. His body shut down when he decided to leave. He decided it was all right. And he started dying and he went. Say, praise God. Hallelujah. But see, that's when grace works too. See, you want to yield to grace in your life. And I'm just telling you ways to do it. This isn't doing being a ministry, being in a pulpit, preaching. This is about listening to God in your life. God being able to do things supernaturally. Wanda's grandpa, there was a supernatural thing. He was dying. I mean, we went in his room in the nursing home he was in, and I'm going to tell you, death was in that place, and the people in there were, one of the big reasons death was so strong, because all the people in the place were full of death. Just, I mean, it was just, you know, there was no life in that place at all. I mean, it was just, I just couldn't believe it. I went in there, and I just said to Wanda, we got to get out of here. Because, see, you need to know where you can minister, not Jesus did, you know. Some people you got to take away. I just said, there's no use praying here. There's no use doing any of that here. Nothing's going to happen here. You got, you know, all the people, and even some of them were Christians. They were just full of death themselves. They were all just, you know, this is boo-hoo time. This is boo-hoo. Well, we left. We're driving on the way home, and we're going out through what's a Colebrook Road, and we're going out past, we weren't at Fry, where the place of Fry's is. I don't know if anybody knows Fry's. They have this, you know, they sell flowers, all kind of stuff, and they used to do vegetables. I don't know how much stuff they do there anymore. But before we got to there, I just said, Lord, because there was so much mess up in Wanda's family, and I knew it hurt her because more things were going on. And I just said to the Lord, I just don't like the way this thing's ending up. I said, my wife, I said, her family, things have been a mess. And, you know, one that was supposed to be a Christian was ripping him off and taking his money. And one, there was just stuff going on. And I said, you know, I said, it just really hurts me for my wife's sake. Now, see, you start talking to God. Now, you can start talking to the things. See, God has an interest, the interest in your things. Now, if he wants you to minister, well, I told him I was. And the Lord spoke to me just as clear. He said, I want you to go back and lay hands on him, and I'll raise him up and make his last days better than his first. He said, now I can't do this for him, but he said, I can do this for you. See, you want to get your, this is why you learn to fall to grace. There's a lot of things supernatural will never take place because people are not qualified. So you got to get yourself in a place where you walk with God. And then you know what? Now I'm going to tell you, it isn't being so darn spiritual and everything else, but I walked in the light I had at the time. I know a lot more things today than I knew back then. But walking in the light of things, being able to understand when the grace of God is working and not working, understand when man's doing his thing and God ain't in it, and people, well, God had his purpose. He has his purpose, but you ain't in it. Give me a break. We find God's purpose. And you know, we went and laid hands on him, and he lived 5 more years. And the things in his family, there's a bunch of that cleared up. And so, but see, God will bless people. But see, you know what? He was a Christian, but God couldn't do it for him because he never walked in the light that he had as a Christian. God said, I can't do that for him, but he said, I'll do it for you. Now, he didn't do it because Ed was wonderful. It was grace did that. Ed didn't do it. If I laid hands on him, if it wouldn't have been grace, it'd have been Ed. The grace had to do it. Now, I could be the servant to go do it, but it ain't going to work because it has to be grace. And God said, I'll make his last days better than his first. You see, he got saved back in the 30s in a revival in a little town. We visited it in South Dakota. I mean, a little town. Today, I don't know, it might have been a little bit bigger than it was then, but how many kids? They only had in the first to 12th grade. I don't know if there's like 20 kids. That little place. That's where Wanda's mom was born and raised, was there. We went out to visit, and they had a revival in a church there, and he went and got saved, but didn't walk in the light of it. Because I'd asked the Lord about it. See, I questioned the Lord, how come his life turned out? He said his life, in other words, the messes that they were in, all this family's junk going up, he said, this is what happens to people that don't walk in the light of the Word of God. This is what happens. So he told me. Told me in the parking lot. I was standing in the parking lot of the Good Samaritan Hospital. I walked out after talking with him, and he told me about how he got saved. And I said, Lord, how come it turned out like this? He said, this is what happens when people don't walk in the light. Yep. Mm-hmm. It spreads on to the rest of their family. Mm-hmm. You walk on the light, you're going to curse your kids. Mm-hmm. You don't walk in the light, you're going to curse and people around you. You'll curse the next generation. People don't like to hear that, but you read the Bible. It's in the Bible. God told Israel about it. But see, we don't have that today. We have love today. God loves everybody, so it's all going to be beautiful. We're all going to get ukuleles and play them and tiptoe through the tulips. So we're doing in America right now, you know. This. But see, that's why I walk in the light. And walking in the light is not walking and doing everything perfectly. It couldn't be. If you had to do that, God would never move for you. You can never get God. If you had to do everything perfect, well, forget it. I mean, you just might as well die and go home and be with Jesus, because I didn't write. Your perfection is your walk in faith. I trust God what he can do. I can't trust Ed what he'd do. We might not know. I've used the word repent many times. And sometimes more just in one day. It's your walk of faith toward God. It's keeping your confidence toward him. And don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose sight of him, because he's the God of grace. That's where the power comes to do this stuff. You have to keep your faith toward him. I've watched this over the years. I'm amazed how the grace of God has worked through people who don't walk as well as most people would think, yet people who think they walk real good could not get near as much grace working through them as they do. There's people that I think maybe some ways do better than me in a lot of things, but they can't get grace working. Why? They don't know how to operate in faith toward it. I don't care how goody two-shoes you are. Grace works by faith. God moves because somebody can believe him. Not because I'm so good, God's going to do something. Dear Lord, I don't want to get into that arrogance that I'm so good, God will move. No, I'm always amazed that God moves in spite of Ed sometimes. I tell you, God is good in spite of my stupid. He's good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we want to walk in light. This is one of the reasons of keeping that. You got to keep a humility about this and realize, that you're not as good as you think you are. You're not as wonderful as you think you are. As people do, they be, I'm better than this guy. Are you sure? Are you sure? The only righteousness I can stand before God with is the one that was given to me. Amen. Can't approach him on mine. Mine ain't so good. Mine gets messed up once in a while. I get my righteousness dirty, messed up with stuff. Got to take it to the car wash, clean it off. That's the righteous life there. Sometimes it's not so easy to do that. Hallelujah. In Ephesians, the third chapter, we'll read this one here in Ephesians, the third chapter. Verse 7 and 8 says, of which Paul is talking about his ministry, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. There again, the unsearchable riches. This is my, I like the fact that he talks about the, keep mentioning the fact, the grace that works in him effectively. One of the things that I think we've lost in the church world, years ago people knew about it, but today we don't know much about people and their gifting. Sometimes of ministers, I know in one case there was a minister and his wife, he made mention of a person came to him at a meeting and said to him, and he said to ask for him to pray for them about healing. And he said, well, he said, God really works through me and moves through me to get people baptized in the Holy Ghost. But he said, loads of people get healed, my wife. He said, why don't you go talk to my wife? You see, Christians try to be everything to everybody and everything everybody wants. He understood. He said, he could see that his wife was used more in that area by God than he was. He understood where he was graced. You know, I get people filled with the Holy Ghost. This guy, my wife over here now, she gets a lot of people healed. You ought to go see her. No, you know, I won't be the one that does the whole thing. I'll just, see, we don't need nobody else. It's all, I do it all. But see, we don't do that. We don't have that in the church world today because we do it the same way we do in our society. We expect everything out of everybody. You know, we expect, it ain't going to happen. You know, anybody could be president. That's why we got the president we do, because they thought that was true. Anybody could be a president. So we just vote for anybody. Hey, that's our society. That's the way it is. We shouldn't think of this. We let our schools promote this junk. When you move God out of school, there are people, God no longer gets a choice in your life anymore. You just make all the choices, you do everything. We just teach you how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide, whether we do that anymore. Anyhow, we just teach you these things so you can make your own decisions and decide what you want to be. When I went to school as a kid, it wasn't like that. There were standards, and they ain't in the schools today. They ain't even close to around. I mean, God was still an important figure. Today he's not. He doesn't get say inside. The only time we want to have God is when trouble comes. God, get us out of all the mess we made. You know, you just be Santa Claus today. Right. All we do is we're just telling you what we want you to do. And that's what God has become. And man lives, turns around, makes their lives a mess. And then God, send Harry Potter with the wand. And clean up my mess. But I want you to understand, God has been good. I'm amazed. I am amazed that America stands. I am amazed that America stands. America has no right to approach God on the basis of we should stand because we have nothing to bring to him. Most of the church world has nothing to bring to him. We ought to just be, whoa, thank you. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Because that's what it's been. Hallelujah. You know, grace has been making this thing work. It's been grace. Thank God. Hallelujah. Don't get discouraged. Keep walking. Somebody has got to walk in the light. God will bless others because somebody else walks in the light. Amen. You got to walk in the light. That's what I've decided a long time ago. I'm called to bless with others. My major thing in life is to be a Christian, is to live for others. I don't live for me. I'm going to heaven. I could drop dead tomorrow. I go to heaven. Don't matter. It's a good time for it. Amen. The only reason to be here anymore is to help somebody else get to heaven. There's not another purpose. What is it? You know, life's like a vapor of smoke. And man, the smoke's coming to an end here. we're coming down. There ain't going to be nothing but smoke. It's like, we're running on the end of this thing. It's, hey, what is our purpose here at this time? What are we? I'm getting ready to go be with Jesus. That's what I'm doing. I don't see anything else to get ready for. You know, I'm not going to build bigger barns. I'm not looking for staying a whole bunch of time or being up. That's not what I'm looking for. So we don't want to walk in that light. So we go out here, we just follow the thing, God's grace. Grace is phenomenal. Grace is marvelous. Grace is the most wonderful thing that ever happened. And following into serving grace, you know, we have so many things that people want to do to be able to help other people. We need the power of God in manifestation. Helping others isn't just being nice to me. Thank God for being nice to people. But I'll tell you what, there's people we're being nice to and they're going to hell. And they die and go to hell and we were nice to them. But they're not being saved. There's the power of God to change people's lives. And that's the whole thing. The power of God is that purpose and that purpose only is to change people's lives. And if we don't have grace to change people's lives, well, what's the point? That's what the point of it is. We want to change the lives of people and we can. God gives us grace. God wants to give us supernatural abilities. Hallelujah. We're not trying to talk him into this. We're not trying to, I can become so good, you will do something good. No, he wants to do something good. We're needing to approach him as, God, how can I cooperate with you? God, I want to do, what do you want me to do? What is it? What's your plan and purpose for my life? Is it just this? I would hate to think, people sit down and say, well, what's my purpose in life? People don't really know. I'm just going to, you know, work at this job all my life. If that's the end of it. Now, number one is the Lord told me when I first got saved, he told me to stay at Reese's. Don't leave. He said, stay here. Now, he's told me at the time, and I just knew that I would be there for that. I could like Reese's working there because from this purpose. God told me I was supposed to be there. Do you know where you're supposed to be? Do you know? See, you have to know. Just like the Spirit bears witness my spirit, I'm a child of God. I need the Spirit bearing witness to me. Am I doing it? Or does God have some other thing? People don't ask. We make our decisions based on everything else. Well, you know, I have a good job. Well, I had a good job, and one day the Lord told me, leave your job. You ain't even got one now. And I want you to move halfway across the country. Now, what do you do with that? You know, this is what I want you to do. See, you got to stop. So I realize this. God don't call me based on the job, on a job. That isn't what it is. Or how much money you're making. In fact, I made minimum wage and lived a better life than we did with Good Day. God knew how to do it. See, number one, God showed me how he could work in my life. I feel bad people, you know, I always think, you know, I got a good edge on things because of doing that. See, nobody's ever experienced something like that. They don't know. You can sit and say you believe God will do all these kind of things for you. Well, I'll hide and watch. Let's see if anything's going to happen. Would I be willing to sit myself in a position where God says, look, I just want you to leave and I want you to go there? What would be your say? Well, think about it. I mean, there's things we need to think of. See, we talk about these things. We know very little about commitment to God. To stop and saying, God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go or do anything I want you to. You want me to do. What is it you want with my life? We know very little about that. We have been taught a lot of the faith stuff of you decide what you want in life and then you ask God to take care of that. You ask God to do this instead of, God, what do you want me to do? You see, we come down to that. It's, you know, if you're afraid to say that to God, it's going to always stay there on your life. You're going to have this place where you can never go beyond. You can't step beyond. I'm afraid to say, well, what if I say to God, he will say, go to China. What if I... Well, you need... You know, it's like a guy did, spent his whole life. This is a story. It's a true story of a guy. He got saved. And he kept thinking, you know, kept coming to him that God wanted him to go to China. This is a true story. Guy, God wanted him to go to China. So he couldn't stand it. He didn't want to go to China. So he stayed away from it. So anyhow, he'd get off and get away. He'd get into sin and stuff. He wanted to get away from church because every time he got around close to God, it was always this China thing. He didn't like it. This guy went through 30-some years of his life, went through all kind of hell and everything, and finally one day, he just, Jesus, I'm just turning myself around. Lord, if you want me to go to China, I'll go. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I never wanted you to go to China. I just wanted you to be willing to if I wanted you to. I'm going to tell you what, this is not a weird story. Average Christian lives like this. There's things that they don't want to touch and they're afraid to. You know, I just came to the bit. God, whatever you want to do, I'm going to have to. I want to be willing to do it. That's just it. I have to be willing to do anything. He's the master. I'm his servant. I this is one thing. Ed is not the is not a good master of his life. I'm not a good master of my life. I'm not good at it. I was never good at it. I was never good at being the master of my life. I was never happy being the master of my life. I didn't make very good decisions. I didn't do decisions that made me happy. I wasn't. But I came down to the place of God, whatever, you tell me what you want to do, I'll do it. When I was going to go to Bible school, God called us to, you wonder how many Christians came to me. Are you sure, God's David, you leave this good job and go? Christians. Trying to talk me out of the will of God. I never had one sinner at Reese's. When I said I was leaving Reese's and I was going out, I had more sinners come to me and say, that's awesome that you're going to do that, to go, you know, leave and go do it. I never had one sinner ever say, oh, you're crazy for that. And yet they thought I was crazy about my believing the way I did. But they thought it was absolutely neat that you'd just go and do that. You know what? They wanted to be able to do that kind of thing. And the Christians didn't. The Christians wanted to be secure, staying right where they are. Don't ask me to do anything. I want to be here in this. And don't realize how that narrows your life. Because what it is that drives that is fear. And fear only brings torment. The Bible says so. See, get out of there. You want to get out over fear. A fear. So one thing is, God will take it wherever I go. God has to be responsible to take care of me. Or he's a liar. He's going to call me and not take care of me. He's going to send me somewhere and not look after me. He's going to do that. I love him and I trust him. You have to come see. You got to get out of your rational mind and go to your heart. Your rational mind stinks. Sometimes it's a sewer. It will think the most irrational thoughts. It'll say, one hand, I love God. On the other hand, he wants to kill me. I love God. He wants me sick. I was irrational. It's just the craziest stuff, stupid things. It's not why we operate out of our hearts. We don't operate out of our heads. And in your heart, we'd love for your voice to say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, I'm willing. That's what he loves. Your heart wants to do that. It was created to do that. Was created to be something else. Follow what's in your heart. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean you've got to leave your job. You've got to be willing to, anyhow. Whether you like it or not, you've got to be willing to. If you have things that you're not willing to, I found out you're just like with the things. This is one of the areas of finances and money. When I finally got over the things, is God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll give it. Whatever you tell, I'll do. What a freedom that is. I don't ever have to worry about crossing that barrier again. That is the most wonderful thing because I've lost all the fear of that. I've lost all the fear of that. I'm not going to have enough. I'll always have enough. I will always have more than enough.
Amen.
That's smart. I will have more than enough. Wow. God can say what he wants and he has to take care of me. Or he's the worst. He is the worst Lord of all. He's terrible, but he's not. He's everything he says he is. And that's why you need to get over to walk in that freedom. Because that's where grace is at. Grace is in those places that you can step by faith. You will not find grace till you step into it by faith. Grace doesn't come and get on you and then you go do the will of God. I had no grace on me to go out to Raymond, to move out there till I committed to go. There wasn't grace. All I had was, you go. And so I said, well, God said to go. And I said to go. And I went home and I thought, well, I'm going to tell Wanda this might be an interesting thing. And she wasn't so sure about that. About it. But you know what? Once I stepped into it, I knew I was in the middle of the will of God. I knew it. And you know what? When we got together and we moved out there, I'm going to tell you, there was nothing but grace on us to go and do. One of the times that the grace of God was on us in that thing so much. But it didn't come till we moved. And the more we moved toward that direction, the greater grace came on us. The more we were confident about what we're doing, what was going to happen, how it was going to work, we just knew it. Just worked. It's one of the worst things to sit down and be afraid to do it. Naturally, you're going to run into fears. Naturally, your mind is going to think of all kinds of things. Your mind is going to go through all the routines of things And that's the natural way of things. But that isn't where you're supposed to be operating. You're supposed to. I knew in here we were supposed to go. I just knew in here we were supposed to do that. My mind was like, oh, there's a million reasons why you shouldn't, and there's a lot of money reason why you can't do it because you don't have the money to do it. God told me to go, and we didn't have the money at all to go. We didn't have money. And when we got out there, we had a bunch of money. But it didn't start that way. The grace didn't go to work on us till we committed. When we committed, then grace worked. If grace wouldn't have came, I wouldn't have had to go. Hallelujah. Well, you want? Why was you got to go without grace? You want God's ability to carry those things out. Now, don't let this stuff scare you, but it's just in life. You got to come down and say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. What do you want? What do you want out of me? What is it? It's tied to your blessing in life. And you know, you might be asking God to do some really wild things for you, and you want things changed. How bad do you want them changed? You want to commit to His will enough to want it changed? So, you know, you just be the Santa Claus and do it, and I'll just write you letters every once in a while and tell you to, you know, send a reindeer down and that sleigh and drop that stuff off. So get ourselves over to walk in the light. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight for grace. Amen. Your ability that does in us what we could never do. And Father, we desire to walk in the light, especially, Lord God, you have plans and purposes for each one of us. And Lord, as they go along in life, sometimes they even expand and open more and more. Sometimes, Lord God, people just stay and walk in the grace, well, how big or small it might seem to be. But Lord God, that's their place. But Father God, we want each person to know that they're in their place. Because if they're not in their place, Lord God, they wouldn't have confidence towards you. And Father, we want you to have them to have confidence towards you. Because Lord God, if a person doesn't have confidence, we can't respond to you by faith. And Lord God, you sure do want to bless people's lives. And I want to thank you, Father God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you show to them your great grace and your great wonders, Lord God, of what you want to do. And Lord God, and using them, hallelujah. Lord, that they know that their place, Lord, maybe they're right where they should be. But Lord God, they need to know that, hallelujah, for themselves, Lord, to walk in this time of where they should be. So they have a confidence where they're at right now. Hallelujah. And so, Lord God, I thank you for revealing to them and showing them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, you want to do supernatural things. And Lord, your people are called to be supernatural. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. In these last days and times, we're going to step into this into a deeper way and a stronger way, Lord God. That when we leave this earth, Lord God, Jesus Christ will be glorified. Jesus Christ will be magnified. And we thank you for it, Father. In His wonderful name, amen.